Country Bob FM.
Today's Bob Almanac is brought to you by the Hastings Area Rotary Club, presenting Rivertown Live Saturday, September 14th at Levee Park on the Mississippi River. Beautiful, historic downtown Hastings. Diamond Rio, Little Texas, and Slam-Abama. Get your tickets now at rivertownlive.com or win them in a few minutes.
On the Almanac quiz?
Yes.
It sure has a nice ring to it when you say the Almanac is brought to you by. We're going to get this thing sponsored.
It makes us feel. It makes me feel pretty important.
It really does.
And validated that we're doing something here that people actually care about.
Correct.
And like I said before, I mean, we never thought it would happen. And thank you to the Hastings Area Rotary Club, because when it comes to sponsoring the Almanac, that'd be like putting a logo on the Washington Monument, Neil.
Right.
That'd be like, Ford or GM or somebody, putting their logo and advertisement on the Washington Monument. Mm-hmm. It's tough.
What?
And because, well, this is the Washington Monument of radio shows, pretty much.
It really is.
Before we get into the history things, no, there's no salute today, but one of these.
Oh. Bob Almanac. Rewind.
You know, yesterday, 1935, yesterday, date in history, we reported that Kruger Brewing was the first beer company to put beer in cans. Sell them in cans in 1935. And I got a couple of one email and one text. Russ and Bobby both contacted me. They obviously either they know their breweries or they looked. Kruger Brewing is still in business.
Nice.
Still brewing in New Jersey to this day.
New Jersey. Okay, wasn't Wisconsin, as I speculated.
It was a good guess, though.
Right.
Milwaukee would have been a good guess. But and they also said, one of them said that not only were they the first ones in regular cans, tin cans, they were also the first ones to do aluminum cans.
Okay.
Now, I did not fact check that, but we'll go with it.
We'll go with it.
Sounds good enough. Thursday, January 25th. 25th day of the year. It's an almanac quiz for those tickets once again, and
so
that means anything.
Listen closely.
Anything is eligible. 1858 here this day. You may know this is the Wedding March.
It's been used a few times.
It's actually Mendelssohn's Wedding March, which was featured in his score that he did for Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. So that's where it came from, and then somebody said, hey, that sounds like something we'd like to play at the end of the wedding of Queen Victoria and the Crown Prince of Prussia. Sadly, Mendelssohn was no longer with us at the time, 1858, so he did not live to hear his wedding march be a part of wedding lore. Here Comes the Bride.
No.
It's not even I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll, but it's still a pretty good song.
It's still pretty good.
And it fits nice there Very majestic there at the end of the ceremony. 1924, this date, first Winter Olympics were held in Chamonix, France.
Oh, yeah.
In Chamonix, 1924. And what's interesting about that is that everything was outdoors. All of the indoor winter sports now that are competed indoors, all the ice skating and the hockey and all that, that was all outdoors then.
Right.
Back in 1924.
Wonder if Franz Klammer was available. No, he probably wasn't old enough.
Probably wasn't there yet, no.
Wasn't he the great France downhill skier, though?
I was more of a fan of the Mayer brothers.
Oh, sure.
Myself. Eddie the Eagle, of course.
Yes.
Was also right up there. 1924. How about 49 first Emmys were presented? TV was barely underway, and they already had an award show. Yeah, we got to award these people. We need to really...
There were six programs.
We need to boost their ego even more.
Right.
That was the state, the first Emmys. And it was a small... It wasn't yet the Oscars. It's become pretty big, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just a small little ceremony at the Hollywood Athletic Club back in 49. 1968.
Bam, bam in yellow, pebbles mixed in green.
Making pictures, Bond?
Oh, no, making Flintstones vitamins a new way.
Make mine purple.
Hey, hold still, you ham. Now me in orange and Dino in red.
Yeah, Flintstones.
Boy, were they popular.
Flintstones chewables introduced this day, 1968.
Yep.
You had Pebbles, Bam Bam, Fred, Barney, Dino and the car.
No Betty, no Wilma?
No Betty or no Wilma. Hmm. They came later, though.
Okay.
I love the car. That's what I always want. And then, right. Then I'd bite the little wheels off.
Well, I like Fred because he was grape. He was purple.
Yes, he said right there. He was grape, purple. The Flintstones Chewables made its debut on this date. And that was, whoever did that for Hanna-Barbera, that was an award. That was just a fantastic
genius
promotion and tie-in with children's vitamins. I mean, who didn't want to bite the head off of Barney?
Right.
Right? I mean, I would have preferred Mr. Slate, but I wish they would have gone a little bit deeper. Yeah, exactly. Mr. Slate would have been good. And then you could have had the Gruesomes, right. The Addams Family knockoff that lived next door.
Yes.
Actually, they would have been before the Addams Family, because the Flintstones were early 60s. Addams Family didn't come until later in the 60s. 65, so the Gruesomes would have been before the Addams Family. But anyway, how about 1970? We got another introduction.
So is it a soup or is it a meal? Let Joey solve this. Chunky is the soup that eats like a meal.
Chunky vegetable beef. It's the soup that eats like a meal.
It's so chunky you can eat it with a fork.
Yes,
The Chunky Soup by Campbell's introduced this date in 1970.
Too.
Yeah, and you didn't add water to it. Don't you dare add water to Chunky Soup.
Right.
It's no longer Chunky Soup.
Yeah.
And let some guy, he sounded like from New York. He was. He knows his soup over there, definitely. And that's still around here today.
Yes, it is.
Yes. My favorite is the one with the little burgers in it. Char burger, and it's got the little char marks on it. I don't know if it was sirloin. I think it was sirloin something or other.
I didn't like
and if
that
that's sirloin.
Right. Yeah, right.
So Salisbury steak is another delicious form of meat. That we don't know whether it's meat or not.
Right.
Whether it meets the standards for meat. But that was always a great day. Salisbury steak and gravy.
Yeah, sure was.
School lunch. It was delicious. 1971 in the news.
No. I have a question. Are you guilty of any murders? Are you guilty of plotting any murders?
I killed a chicken once.
Any human being?
No.
You're absolutely innocent of any conspiracy to commit murder or telling anyone to commit murder or planning it?
I'll plead guilty to the Indian.
So that's Charles Manson. And yes, he was guilty. They asked him, they asked him he's guilty of killing a chicken. But Charles Manson, three of his followers, sentenced to life in prison after being... Have you ever watched any of those interviews that he did? Ugh. I think Geraldo did one. There are other interviews that he did while he was in prison. I mean, whack job.
Oh, my.
But
I couldn't even look at his eyes. He was whacked.
You could see it. And evil. You could see it in his eyes. Convicted on 7 counts of first-degree murder this date, 1970. They call it the Helter Skelter trial.
Tate-LaBianca murders.
Yes. Yeah, because Sharon Tate was one of them.
Right.
Wasn't she in the Gone But Not Forgotten list? We didn't have any audio for, but now we can mention her now. That's what we do here in the Almanac. We eventually get to these things. Mm-hmm. 1987.
You wish upon a star. Makes no difference who you are.
Sing along if you know it.
Bill Sims, you just won the Super Bowl. What are you doing next?
I'm going to go to Disney World.
Well, but first I'm going to sign a big contract.
Yeah.
I'm a quarterback for the Super Bowl champion New York Giants. They had just defeated the Broncos. Would have been the 86 season. January 87 there in the Super Bowl. First time that they had done that. That was the debut of that very successful campaign.
Yep. And is it still going on?
That's a good
Probably
question.
Is.
I don't know. I don't pay that close attention.
Either.
It doesn't matter quite as much, but of course...
Most of those players could buy Disney World.
Right, yeah, they don't... I doubt if they even do a free trip. They might do it with the cheerleaders now, or maybe one of the concessionaires.
Yeah.
Hey, you just sold 5 bags of popcorn. Where are you going now? They did it with Frank Viola later that year in 87.
Oh, they did.
When the Twins won the 87 World Series. And it was fun, because now we knew about it. And it was fun to watch him. He did like... You'd have to ask Frankie, but I think he did like 3 or 4 different takes. So they pay him this money, and they already know. It'd be interesting to know the process of that, because obviously they get him during the celebration.
Right.
And I think it started. I think it started somewhere where maybe it was just impromptu, where somebody said, hey, you just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do now? I'm going to go to Disney World. And that wasn't paid for. No. It was just somebody did it, and then they eventually turned it into a promotion. And when Frank Viola was doing it, if you watch the celebration clips after the final out in 87 at the Metrodome, you can see him. They did it like three or four times. He's hugging Greg Gagne, and there's a camera there, and you can see him say, I'm going to Disney World.
Ooh.
It's really quite fascinating.
He's going, hey, where's my trip?
Yeah, where's my trip? Hey, I had a pretty good World Series.
Yeah, he did.
He did. I know he did.
Yeah.
But that was in 87. 1990.
Can I help you?
Yeah, Rebecca Howe.
Hey.
Rebecca, this is from Robin Colcord. You never close your eyes.
Oh, my gosh. It's Bill Medley from the Righteous Brothers. I knew Robin, knew him. And I hoped that one day I would meet him. But I never knew that he would fly him all the way to Boston to sing this song to me.
Yeah, Bill Medley was on Cheers. It was a great scene. And then later on, they brought in Bobby Hatfield, who is known as the other one. And that's how Rebecca Howe called him. That's the other one. Poor Bobby Hatfield.
Yeah.
So Bill Medley of the Righteous Brothers, 1990, 2006.
It would be legally impossible now for the United States government to recognize the new government with Hamas in control of it, because Hamas is officially designated as a terrorist organization by the Congress of the United States and by the President.
And they are still a terrorist organization. You wonder what's going on now in the Middle East. A lot of it goes back to this date, 2006, when Hamas won control of the Palestinian government, capturing a majority of seats. It was an election, but I'm sure many of those votes were coerced.
It could have been.
And the United States Department of State had classified Hamas as a terrorist organization, which they are still from that thing in October. Awful.
Right.
And the opposing,
you can't do that.
The opposing group was Fatah in that region of the world. And that region of the world is obviously in turmoil once again. But it was, you can trace it back to this day, 2006. That was Jimmy Carter, of course, commenting on it. Very well known when it comes to foreign affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to 2023. We got to say goodbye.
One, goodbye. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Hasenbeff Incorporated.
We're gonna do it. And they are gonna do it.
It's
and they
Stevie
did
theme
it.
Time.
It's Laverne and Shirley, and we lost Shirley a year ago. She also was, much like Suzanne Somers, included in our Gone But Not Forgotten Almanac Salute montage.
Cindy Williams.
I said, Laverne, you've got a mouth like a sewer, which she does. Oh,
great
Cindy
show,
Williams.
Though.
Have I told you I had a crush on her?
Yes.
Shirley, I think I have.
One of the brunettes.
And Rhoda. And
Betty
Rubble.
Betty Rubble.
2023, Laverne and Shirley Feeney passing away at the age of 75. We're moving on to birthdays here again. Be listening for the quiz.
As the Vikings grew from an expansion team into the football power known as the Purple Gang, Carl Eller became a unanimous All-Pro and the reigning prince of defensive linemen in the National Football League.
I like getting the job done, tackling the quarterback, making him lose 10 yards, but I like it better if I've gotten the hit.
He likes it better with the hit.
Right.
He likes to drive him into the turf. That's Carl Eller, Neil. 82 today for Carl Eller.
He was a fearsome defensive end.
Hall of Famer, six-time Pro Bowler, number 81, played for the Gophers.
One of the greats.
Murray Warmath was bringing some Southern players up, which was controversial at the time.
Right.
In the 60s.
Helped us to the Rose Bowl.
Yes. And Carl Eller, he came to my middle school. He got into drug issues. He had drug problems. And then he fixed them. And he came to our middle school and he talked about drugs.
Very
remember
nice.
Carl Eller there? And he signed. I had one of those inflatable Viking swords.
Oh, yeah.
It's a Viking blade. It was inflatable.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't Skoll yet. They weren't doing the whole Skoll thing at that point in the 80s. But it was Vikings, and he signed it. And I hope I've got that somewhere in my archives.
Early 80s, right? Probably.
Middle school, 80, 81, 82, 83, 84. I can't remember if it was 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, but probably somewhere in the middle. We'll split the difference.
Yep. Very nice.
That was a state in 42 that Carl Eller was born. Happy birthday. Wrestling.
But still, they hit him out over the head with a guitar. I can't believe that, honky.
That's Peggy Sue, and you shouldn't be talking about her. You know, she's getting tired of it. She told a honky-tonk man long-distance information the other night. She said, honky-tonk man, you letting Gene Okerlund say things about me. I'm going to get a hold of him. She said she's going to stuff her bobby socks down your throat.
Wow.
She said that?
That's what she said. And she said after WrestleMania, when the honky-tonk
man... I tell you what, if you look at the reaction of Mean Gene, I think he actually wants her to do that. He would like to have some bobby socks now. He's kind of intrigued, to be honest. It's another Mean Gene cameo with the honky-tonk man.
We don't tire a Mean Gene.
His real name, Wayne Ferris. And he's 71 today. He's in the WWF or WWE Hall of Fame.
Nice.
And he is 71 today. You know what his finishing move was, Neil?
I don't. I can't remember.
It was the shake, rattle, and roll.
Oh, yes.
The shake, rattle, and roll. And it was a good one. Of course, I knew he would always hit people with his guitar.
Right.
Honky-tonk man. Here, happy birthday.
I'm judging the dance contest.
I don't think I'm entered.
A knockout like you? What's your name?
Marty.
Marty what?
Maraschino,
like Vince Fontaine, also smitten with a high school girl. That's very, very controversial and scandalous. From the movie Grease, Neil, Vince Fontaine is the radio guy, and he's hosting the dance party.
Right.
And he's there, and there is Dinah Manoff as Marty Maraschino in the Grease films. Then she was one of the daughters on Empty Nest, too.
Okay.
And she was good in that show. Yep. Next to Christy McNichol. Dinah Manoff is 68. That show, Blackish.
Listen. Those made-up names are a travesty. You need to give that boy a strong name. Something powerful, biblical. Something that won't give away the fact that he's black until you hear him talking on the phone. Now, you know we can tell somebody black on the phone.
Yeah, you can always tell.
You can't tell.
How about Michael? Or
she was Ruby. She was Mama on Blackish.
Okay.
Jennifer Lewis, she's 67 today. We've got a singer. Neil, do you know who this is?
I don't.
It's Alicia Keys.
Ah,
have you heard of Alicia Keys?
I have.
Have you heard of that name at least?
I have, certainly have.
Have you heard of Jay-Z?
Yep.
He's the one doing the rapping. It's Jay-Z and Alicia Keys and the whole New York thing, Concrete Jungle 43. And our rapper of the day is not Jay-Z because it's not his birthday, but it's Lil Mosey.
Another Lil.
Lil Mosey
sure
is 22.
All right, way to go, Lil. Gone but not forgotten. He wasn't a cheater. He was a traitor. Benedict Arnold, born on this day, 1741, and it didn't end well for Benedict Arnold. Moving on, let's talk a couple of football notes. Former football player and coach Frank Pop Ivy, he's still, I think, the only person to have served as a head coach in the National Football League, the American Football League, and the Canadian Football League. Pretty impressive, 1916. What about, do you remember the voice and the face of NBC newsman Edwin Newman?
There is a school of thought, I'm sure you know about it, a school of thought that soul music as a dominant force in music has been eclipsed.
No more soul, what? In the man's world, call the super band. I got you. Feel good. Ow! Let it.
I think our time is up. James Brown has been speaking freely. Edwin Newman, NBC News.
Newman, that's one of my favorite Saturday Night Live episodes when I was a kid. When he was on there, he was such a straight man.
Stoic.
Stoic. He never cracked up. And, he was fantastic on that episode. And I think that was after he had retired as NBC newsman there in the 80s.
Certainly, for those of us who, saw him on the news, we remember him very, very well. Edmund Newman. Edwin Newman, born on this day 1919.
But he was stoic, but he wasn't just downright mean like Harry Reasoner.
Right, no. Right. He seemed like a nice man.
Yes.
Country singer, he had a couple of hits. I think only one top 10 for Rusty Draper.
Freight train, going so fast. Freight train, going so fast. I don't care what train I'm on.
Rusty Draper.
As long as it keeps rolling on.
With the Dick Knoll Singers.
Wow. He was.
Hey.
And some whistling. Oh, that's a good tune, right? It's a train song. Rusty Draper, born on this day, 1923. A year later, a guy who really changed the game in the National Football League. As football, as a rule. Field goal kicking really wasn't a thing when Lou the Toe Groza came into the league after serving in World War II. He played a year at Ohio State and then went to war and then came back and played. He was an offensive tackle, but he was the first guy, I think, to ever hit a field goal over 50 yards.
Straight away.
Other teams wouldn't even attempt field goals of that length, and he was making them. So all of a sudden, the other teams start, hey, we got to find a kicker who can, you know, give us a chance from, you know, for points. And he really changed the game and made field goal kicking much more of a specialty thing. Lou the Toe Groza, 19, and if, with a nickname like the Toe, do you need to know he was a kicker? Probably. Lou Groza, 1924. Etta James, the fine singer.
At last, my love has come along.
There's some soul there.
Over.
And much like Carl Eller, not that they were singers, but she also had some personal problems, drug problems, but then got her life back together and just was an outstanding singer. Hall of Fame singer, Etta James, born on this day, 1938. One wrestler, you may remember the name of the Briscoe brothers, Jay Briscoe. I don't know why I'd have to look, but he was born on this day in 84. He's already on our gone but not forgotten list, so we lost him early. Professional wrestler Jay Briscoe. They're all gone but not forgotten.
Hey, Lamar.
Hey, who?
Mr. Stanford. Buenos dias, huh?
And beans and disease to you.
Your staff forgot the neighbor to the Sanfords, Julio.
Oh, sure.
Julio from Puerto Rico.
Speaking of nice sideburns.
Yes, yeah, and boy, did he have some run-ins with Fred.
Yes, he did.
Their interchange and interactions were just outstanding. He was also, of course, Detective Chano.
Yes,
Sergeant Chano on Barney Miller.
Yeah.
He was born this day in 1925. The actor's name is Gregory Sieta. Gregory Sieta.
He was great.
Oh, he was great. He was. Yeah, like now that. They're all gone.
Gone, but not forgotten.
Here comes today's Almanac quiz. 1968, this date, Flintstones chewables were issued, introduced. Neil said what his favorite one was because of the flavor.
Right.
What character, which of the Flintstone chewables characters was Neil's favorite?
Perfect.
763-4500. I said my favorite was the car.
Yes.
You said your favorite was one of the other ones.
Right.
763-4500. First caller with the correct answer wins the pair of tickets to Rivertown Live in Hastings, Diamond Rio, Little Texas, Slamabama. And, of course, they bring you today's Bob Almanac kickoff song.
Yeah.
No repeat workday. How about the all repeat workday?
Right.
The no repeat workday. George Strait, you know better than that. You know me better than that. Toby Keith, I want to talk about me. And let's see if this other one also has a me in it. Nope. Family tradition.
For my buddy Jeff Becker, who I'm going to see, stay at his place in Florida. He always does family tradition at his shows.
Okay.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDBG, Albert, KDBG.